All right, Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent these two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Now, see, later on, he sent them out again, and he told them to take stuff with them. Okay, so you got to hear from the Lord. He's alive and well. Okay, you do it however he says for you to do it. Okay. And verse 5, and into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now, especially verses 8 and 9 here. Into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Now notice, and heal the sick. I don't know how long it was before it dawned on me. He did not say, pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick that are therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Now, you don't have to hold your place. I doubt we're coming back there. But let's go over to Matthew 10 for just a moment. This is where he sent out the 70. He gave almost identically the same instructions when he sent out the 12. But here he just said, heal the sick that are therein. But in Matthew's account, he gives a little more detail. Because I don't think his method has changed. I think he's still sending laborers into the harvest. Calling in the lost is all about making intercession and praying, especially for our lost loved ones. I'm going to read again Pastor Dave's instructions tonight. It's not real long, page and a half. His very first instructions for calling in the lost and kind of get our bearings set back again. Okay. But he references these passages where the Lord of the harvest sent laborers into the harvest. So I thought it'd be good to read those again first. So Matthew's account, where he's sending out the 12, and we're going to pass over where he's talking about their names and so forth. So look at verse 7, Matthew 10, 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here he gives more detail. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, and freely give. Now, boy, that sounds like this morning's message. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, you better believe me. See? And this has been our mission. This is where we've been pressing all of these years, digging down through 2,000 years of man's religion, trying to uncover all that to get down to the original foundation stones of the gospel laid by Jesus Christ and the first apostles. Amen? And I think we're getting there. He says we're right on the cusp of revival. But when we go in to preach, it's not to go in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. And amen? Okay. Now, here he says, look at verse 8 again. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. All right. Now, look at verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, see, I used to think if you go and preach the gospel and they don't receive you, well, all right, I'll shake the dust off to get my shoe. I'll shake the dust of your city off. But wait a minute. Wait now. Did you do it the way he said do it? Did you heal the sick? No, I prayed for the sick. Did you cast out devils? I'm afraid of devils. Did you raise any dead? Well, there was a lot of dead people in that service, all right, but no. We don't have a right to shake the dust off until we've demonstrated the gospel in power. Give the world a fighting chance. One of the scriptures we looked at this morning when Jesus was talking about that, he says, that the world may believe, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. That the Father has sent him. So calling in the lost, how this really originated, of course, was Pastor Dave. And the Lord gave him some very precise instructions on doing this. And so I transcribed those notes. Actually, there's about 6 pages. But the essence of it is right here in this page and a half. And I just think it's good, since it's been a while since we met, to read these words. So the title on here is Calling in the Lost, First Instructions by Dave Robertson. Okay. He says, what I wanted to teach you is just a simple confession. Just the fact that you are making the confession is all you need to know to make it work. Because God is looking for people who will lend to him their authority for him to use to do what you are saying when you are saying what he wants. Do you remember what he said about the Lord of the harvest? The laborers are few and the harvest is plenteous. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Now, if God wanted them saved more than we do, why didn't he just do something himself? Why bother with it? The reason is that the authority was transferred from Jesus Christ to us, his body here on earth. Boy, this sentence right here. Where we don't move, God doesn't move. I'll say that one again. Where we don't move, God doesn't move. Dave's not the first one to say that. There's others in history that said it seems like God does not move in the earth unless men pray, which men and women. That's why, back to Dave's lesson, that's why he said, how shall they hear lest a preacher is sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that carry this glad tidings of good news. What we don't bring, they don't hear. We instigate the truth and send it forward by every means. And no matter how we do it, whether by telephone, by television, sending a wire, a book, leaflets, however they hear the word, they heard it, and then faith comes in. But until somebody does that, they will not hear. So if you pray the Lord of the harvest, that is the same as him saying, you gave me the authority to move, and I will move. When you pray for a loved one, my God, you send angels after them, and you send God after them. If necessary, when you get strong enough about it, Jesus will walk in and talk to them about going to hell. You are the one that caused it. He came because of your authority. Some of you have been experiencing that to some degree. Some have been getting calls from their relatives that are breaking down under the pressure and wanting to come back and be born again and serve God. The person that was telling Dave this says, this stuff really works, doesn't it? You remember when Dave would give his testimony about his relatives coming in? And he started calling them in just like he was teaching us. And then he gave testimony after testimony, which I won't repeat here tonight. It was wonderful to hear how God did it, you know. Next paragraph. So when we do stand and begin to worship God and call the lost in, our intention is to slide into that worship to where we become one with it and it becomes one with us. Where God is actually, through his power and anointing, dictating these things through us. Now, this is what he said when he talked about, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you shall not doubt. Where do you not doubt? In your heart. then you will have what you say with your mouth. If you doubt not where? Your heart. You'll have what you say with your mouth. What saying it with your mouth does is generally, it finally pulls your heart in. Did you get that? Even if you don't really believe it when you first start, you keep saying it, you keep saying it, it's going to pull your heart in. It's going to pull your heart in. See? And once your heart, back today, once your heart is pulled in, the process reverses, and you finally get what you're saying with your mouth. That is why it may take you 30 minutes of giving yourself to Him and His anointing and Him to you, but once you're there, He is taking your authority and doing incredible things with it. Jesus, I love this, Jesus will become to this church what you call Him. Wow. Jesus will become to this church what you call Him. Hallelujah. We're going to call some things here in a minute. Praise the Lord. Next paragraph. Of course, you know Ephesians chapter 5. Be not drunk on wine, wherein is excess. But on the other hand, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He said to not be drunk on wine. The world has to get drunk on wine to cope. You don't have to. There is a place in the Spirit where when you keep confessing His word over something, what you are doing is ministering to yourself, your own heart. You're not actually moving God. You're moving yourself into a place to line up with God. That's why He says you can be drunk on this new wine by ministering to yourself over and over in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Things that come from the Spirit, like what I'm about to give you. You keep ministering that over and over and over until eventually it will move your heart, because it is your heart that you are ministering to. And as soon as it is able to move your heart lines up with God's heart, and that incredible authority comes. Then 1,000 angels can go through this city at one time and usher sinners in. Then the glory will fall to meet them. That's what revival is about. Praying in tongues transforms you enough so that I don't believe any of you are going to give in to the devil's beatings. We thought that was kind of funny all those years ago. The devil will take your persecution to a new level because you're doing this. You'll know if you don't pass. You'll know if you don't pass because you won't be here. You'll know if He can't use you for revival, because your circumstances will beat you out of it, and you'll stop. And that's the end of it. Now, I remember that first night, and we're going to do it again tonight, and I don't know if you have any pieces of paper, but I think it would be good again, since it's been quite a while. I've got a grandson that I'm not going to mention by name that I believe someday will be a preacher. Right now, he's not exactly serving the Lord. I've got some other relatives that hopefully they're on solid ground, but right now it's kind of shaky ground. We need to get some names. Put these names down afresh. Start sending God after them again. Start calling in the lost, calling them saved, calling them out of whatever condition they're in. And we started tonight with Daniel, and I think she has another son. Justin is the other one. She hasn't come back in, by the way. So, hallelujah. If you need some paper, is somebody that has paper maybe can share a scrap with you or something. But I'd like, if we can, like to actually write some names down and maybe put them in the box here tonight. Anyone need paper? Okay, I guess everybody's got something. Now, and while you're getting some names ready, before we do that part, I'm going to exhort a little bit more about the confessions, because that was the very first service. But then as we went along, Dave gave me instruction personally to go back through many of the prophecies at that time and compile a list of statements that we could say that we know for 100% sure is the will of the Father for this place. And some of those statements came by prophecy. Some of them are just directly from the Word. Some of them Dave got by revelation. I don't know how many of you remember when the Lord gave him the vision of those angels coming in and underground, and the angels that would blanket the services. And he gave instructions how we're to speak about angels to combat the enemies. Demons coming in underground. How they were affecting Tulsa. Underground just means unseen. I don't mean they're under the dirt. Coming in unseen, and they were affecting the city. And he says, you know, we got more angels than the devil's got demons, you know. And so God gave him some instructions is why there's confessions in here about angels, what we're supposed to say to loose the angels. I mean, the Father has control of the angels, but they hearken to the voice of his word. So anyway, so that's why we're going to do these confessions. By the way, next week or next time we meet, I'll give you the new, updated, cutting-edge confessions for the prayer center. They're exactly the same as before, except I changed it to 2020. We have what we say. We're not going to change it till we have what we say. Besides, this is what he said, and this is what we're going to have. So, all right. Praise God. Okay, got some names. I'm not writing mine down, but I've got him. I've got him right here and a couple of others right here in my hand. So I want to rush you. I see some people still writing. So, and you don't have to include your whole family tree here. We're just, you know, you can do this at home, too. You don't have to just do it tonight. All right. Yes, sir. I want to exhort just a little more, because Dave, he would go on and say, listen, when you do this, God is smart. When you start calling in the lost, loosing the good shepherd to go after these lost sheep, he'll send a doctor after your lost doctor son. He'll send an engineer after your lost engineer son. He knows who will be effective. When I'm praying along those lines for my family, I say, Lord, handpick them. Handpick laborers, both angelic and in the natural. Handpick them, Lord, the ones that will be effective. Because he knows. He picked them by name. Of course, I know the Holy Spirit helped him. But he picked them by name, called them out, right? His 12 and then the 70. So he can handpick the ones that needs to go after your lost loved one. Okay. So just do this with me. Let's go ahead and pray this prayer. You can hold up your paper, put your hand on it. If you haven't written it, I'm just holding up my hand to represent my grandson. And there's some others. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we lift up every one of these people to you. We are praying exactly like Jesus said to pray. We are praying, Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the harvest. Father, we thank you now that Jesus died for every single person on planet Earth, Lord. The price has already been paid. You are not holding their sins against them. The answer is Jesus. Now, Father, handpick the angelic spirits. Handpick the laborers. You are the Lord of the harvest. But we are doing exactly as our pastor instructed us, Lord, with this prayer. Have authority in the earth to go after these people that we have listed tonight and the others that we will list later. But Lord, from this point on, now we believe that you hear us when we pray. Now we're not going to just pray and forget it, but we're not going to ask you again tomorrow like we didn't ask you today. But Lord, you said to put you in remembrance. So every day, Lord, we say, thank you, Lord. I call my grandson saved. Lord, I thank you that he knows the truth. Father, I thank you that he is saved, born again, child of the living God, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, prophesying, giving his whole life to you, Lord, and you're using him in your kingdom, and he'll have a glorious entrance on that day into heaven. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I might just, I don't know if I'll say those same words every day, but something like that. And it's not that God forgets. It's something to do with our faith, keeping faith alive, keeping the switch turned on, keeping that authority in place. And I'm telling you, we're going to get testimonies back. There'll be supernatural testimonies coming back. I believe the same thing works for kids on drugs. I believe, I remember when our kids weren't, our three daughters were in rebellion at a time. And we had scriptures that we said over them and quoted over them. And look at them now. They're all just lovely and serving God. Hallelujah. This works. It really does. Okay. All right. So, Father, we did that part. Now, on this next part, this is where Dave had me go back through so many. It took a while to come up with these confessions. And over the first year or two, we, adjusted them some. But we haven't changed a word in here in many years, and I don't plan on it. I think we've got it like God wants it. And just like Dave said here, the devil will do anything he can to beat you out of this. But we're still here. We could all give our testimonies of the beatings, but we're still here, and we're going to I believe this. We are going to see with our eyes every single one of these confessions come to pass exactly as we have as we speak them. This is the will of God for this. Alan taught this morning about the will of God. This he has made. His mind known, his will known for this place. And we as a people, this is it. And we're going to have it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're not going to be beat out of it.